My name is Marlee Matoski. I work for the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, also in the AIDS Activities Coordinating Office, and I'm here today to talk about a survey that we did with our clinicians. These are the clinicians that Coleman referred to in his presentation. We were interested in prevention with positives. For folks who aren't really clear what prevention with positives is, it's a newer concept within the prevention arena. It's talking about prevention with those folks who are HIV infected within the context of medical care. So while you're HIV positive, you're at a medical appointment, we're going to be infusing prevention messages and screenings and interventions to you while you're there in the context of medical care. As I go forward and I talk about clinicians, I'm going to be specifically referring to physicians, physician's assistants, and nurse practitioners, and we'll talk about that a little why I'm doing that a little bit down the line. All right, so there are a couple of things that I hope that you're going to get out of today. The first is that we're going to talk about a survey that we did, and we used an internet-based product, SurveyMonkey. I highly promote it to anyone who wants to use it. It's very easy to use from both your end as a distributor of surveys and also from the participant's end. It's great for collecting anonymous data. They could do it at any time. Next, we're going to hopefully identify some factors about our clinicians with respect to prevention with positives. So you'll understand where we were about a year ago with our providers. It'd be interesting to hear from you where your providers are at, if you know, or when you go back home and you could take this information so you can understand, you know, something to compare your providers against. And then we might talk about briefly the difference within disciplines. In general, nurse practitioners were really good about getting their survey responses back, and also they were much less likely to experience barriers. So why are we doing this? We know that there's going to always be new infections, unfortunately. In the U.S., there's about 40,000 a year. Locally within Philadelphia, it's around 1,000 to 1,200. And we know that HIV-positive folks fall into one of three categories. You have the folks who are positive that don't know their status. You have the folks who are positive but aren't in care. And you have the folks who are positive and in care. And in the Philadelphia region, the folks who are positive in care make a large portion of that entire group. And the way we figure is if we have about 9,000 people who touch our primary care system within a year, if we can somehow impact those folks with respect to prevention, hopefully we can ultimately impact those new infections down the line. So we were charged with coming up with a prevention with positive strategy for our EMA. And as Coleman had briefly said, our EMA consists of Philadelphia, five counties around it, and four counties in New Jersey. So we had a very large responsibility. And with beginning of any new great program or any strategy, you really have to have a good understanding of what's going on with the folks at baseline. So we really wanted to know from our clinicians what they were thinking about with respect to prevention with positives. And I want to note that we did self-assessments of their perceptions of their skills, comfort, and effectiveness. We didn't do examinations on what their knowledge levels were. We just asked them what they felt was their knowledge. Of course, with any good study, you have some assumptions or hypotheses as you go into it. And we probably felt that the clinicians were overburdened. This is just one more thing that they're expected to do. It's going to compete against a lot of other resources or a lot of other priorities. Perhaps they didn't even value it. We also figured since clinicians are human beings also, they perhaps most likely engage in sex. So they may have much more knowledge, comfort, and skills related to sex than perhaps drugs. We also figured that a lot of folks see the prevention and the care as two separate systems. They don't see them as a continuum, and I find myself talking about them as two separate systems. And perhaps they might be involved in one system, the care system, and not really know what's going on in the prevention system. And then, of course, there's always barriers, and we felt as though they were going to be related to resources, time, money, that kind of stuff. So what exactly did we do? As I talked about a little earlier, we used SurveyMonkey. We sent out the survey to 136 staff in 19 HIV clinics. We said to them, who would you consider part of your HIV team? And we sent it out. This included folks beyond just the docs, the NPs, and the PAs. It consisted of 33 questions. It took about 5 to 7 minutes to complete. It was, for the most part, multiple choice or checkoff, although we did leave areas for comments for each question, and we did get a lot of comments in that respect. We sent out the surveys last October, and by December, we were completed with our analysis. So this is what our group looked like. We had an overall response rate of 58%, but if you looked at those first three rows, the physicians, the nurse practitioners, and the physician's assistants, we had a response rate of 64%. And if you look at the other group, you might be thinking, who's in that other group? These were pharmacists, these were registered nurses, nutritionists, other folks that were definitely involved within HIV care, but those positions are often not seen across HIV clinics. Not everybody's fortunate enough to have a pharmacist in their clinic. However, we do have some that do. The results of this study that I'm going to talk about just focused on the clinicians. So we had five areas of results that we focused on, and the first was around perceptions. Fortunately, all of our providers, all of our clinicians, believe in prevention of positives belongs in medical care. They believe it's an important part of their role, and they screen at least once a year. Many of them said they screen more than that per year. And what we took away from this was the idea that, thank goodness, we didn't have to do work around buy-in, trying to get folks to believe in prevention with positives. That's a part of medical care. They automatically felt that way. So that was a very large burden that we didn't even need to address. Another aspect of the perceptions was about their skills, their knowledge, and their comfort. Generally, they were knowledgeable about and comfortable with both sex and drugs, and pretty equally, interestingly enough. However, when it came to their effectiveness, this is where things got a little icky. 58% believed they provided an effective intervention. So the flip side of that is about 42% felt as though they didn't. And when you looked at their effectiveness at motivating change, they really didn't feel that great about it. 40% said they had limited effectiveness at motivating change around sex, and 67% around drug use. When we looked at the barriers, the most significant ones are the ones of greatest proportion for sex were time and priority. For drugs, it was also time again, but here it was more around the reluctance or the unwillingness of the patient to discuss this. You know, for many folks, it's, you know, an illegal behavior. They don't feel comfortable talking about it with their doctor. We know that a lot of folks want to please their doctor, want to tell their doctors what they want to hear, so they didn't report any. They were more reluctant to talk about that. Now we said to the clinicians, not in so many words, pie in the sky, what would you want to do? The bottom line is they want to do more, and they want to do more better. They want to provide a more effective intervention. They want to refer to prevention with positive services. They want to distribute stuff. They want to give stuff to their patients that they could utilize. And lastly, they want to screen more regularly. So we really do want to do more work around prevention with positives. So talking a little more about the existing prevention system that we have in Philadelphia, we asked the clinicians for around eight different prevention services, what were their thoughts? We asked them about needle exchange, prevention case management, PCRS, structured HIV prevention groups, support groups, licensed mental health counseling, bleach kit distribution, and condom distribution. We said, for all of those areas, what are your thoughts about it? And overwhelmingly, folks were satisfied with support groups, condom distribution, and mental health services. Now, mind you, all of these services are open, free, and accessible to our system of care within Philadelphia. Yet, there are a portion of our providers, our clinicians, that don't know where these services are located or don't think they're accessible to their patients. Most interestingly, 22% of them said they didn't know where the needle exchange programs are. Now, they're not hidden, they're not underground, they're out in the wide open, and they didn't know where they were. And interesting, for bleach kits, about the same portion, 22% said they didn't think they were accessible to their patients. One silver lining was that folks felt as though the programs were effective, so it wasn't, again, that idea of having to do that buy-in piece. And lastly, we said, what aids would you need to better provide prevention services? And it broke down into three basic areas. They wanted information for their patients. They wanted written materials. They wanted the bleach kits, the condoms, and that sort of stuff. They wanted skill-building materials for themselves. They wanted screening tools so that they could better themselves. They wanted more written materials, interestingly, around drug use. And thirdly, they wanted more information around the prevention system. And this made us think about the idea of, are they thinking more like they would do prevention, they would do screenings and then triage people, you know, into a service that was focused on prevention, that could totally take care of these folks in a much more comprehensive manner. Folks wanted a better understanding of the prevention system and the prevention services that were available, and they wanted more information on these referral sources that they could send folks to. So this got us thinking, wow, that's all they want, is they want to know where to refer people to? So last December, we were meeting with our primary care provider. So we said, okay, we're going to get them, you know, the locations of these services, and we're going to get them a little resource guide and all this sort of stuff. And then when it came time to do it, we realized we don't have a lot of services for people who are already infected with HIV. We have a lot of services for preventing HIV. To the non-infected person, but we don't have a lot of services for those who are already infected. Fortunately enough, we had a lot of rich data here, in addition to some other data sources around prevention services, and it was about time to put our prevention services out to bid. I make it sound so easy, you know, the whole putting out to bid, like we did it like that. But we did put our services out to bid. And as part of putting it out to bid, we wanted to make sure that we'd made available more services for the HIV-positive person. We wanted to make it or encourage the prevention system to reach into the medical providers and get referrals, because you have a very rich source of folks who, you know, you could possibly provide interventions to. We closed when we announced the folks about a month, not even a month ago, and about a third of the dollars are now targeted for folks who are already infected. So this was a dramatic shift. We went from having a handful of programs that were targeted towards the HIV infected folks to 30% or so of the dollars. We still have other work to do. We want to look at this, some of the demographics to figure out who in particular is providing prevention services. We collected a lot of information around the actual provider's race, ethnicity, and all that sort of stuff. We want to see if there's any barriers or any limitations there. We want to also look at incorporating this survey or running the survey out to our case management providers. We have over 100 case managers in our system, and they're obviously seeing folks, and they have perhaps a different relationship than the clinicians do with the clients. So how are they talking to their clients about prevention? What are they doing? Where are they referring folks? So we also want to roll this survey out to them. So in conclusion, I forgot business cards. So if you want anything related to this, my boss, Coleman, remembered his business cards, or you can bring me your business card up. We are more than willing to give you copies of our survey, give you more in-depth analysis of the data, who responded how, you know, what did the nurse practitioners say over the physicians and the physician's assistants. And I just want to conclude by saying, you know, it's really exciting to be able to do this work every day. I'm very excited that I get to come to work and work with a great group of dedicated folks. And our provider community is also equally as dedicated, and it makes the work a lot easier to engage in. Thank you very much.